Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Deirdre O'Kane podcast with SJ and Eva B. We are a three-way Zoom podcast and thanks for listening.
Hola.
Jesus Christ.
Hola, D.
Oh, fuck. It just doesn't end.
What's wrong?
War with my son. They're all home, you see. They're all at home on the midterm break. Okay. Yeah, because you're in my bedroom. There's only 10 hours left on my game, on this FIFA game. Like something like 7 hours left on it, and we're going up to visit granny. So that means I can't go on it later, and that means I can't go on it in the morning, and the 7 hours will be gone, and you're trying to do a podcast in my room. Go into your own room. Hence, I am now on my own bed, as you can see. And then, why are you so angry? Oh, my fucking God.
Because you're a prick. That's why.
Precisely. Beautifully said, Eva. And you and not me, which makes me really happy.
Oh, dearie.
My girls, you will calm me down.
It's the last episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But not the last episode forever. Just to be clear to the listeners.
For this year, I would say.
Yeah, we are. We're taking a break.
We're taking a break.
Planning to come back after Christmas. Is that right? Is that the plan? Yeah. Our lovely, loyal listeners, we will miss you for the little break, but we will be back.
We will be back.
How is life? How is everyone?
How is life?
Don't start with me because I just can't even remember yesterday. Eva, let's talk about you.
Good. It's good.
Where are you? Oh, you're back in
London.
I'm
home. I just arrived back about half an hour ago. I've been in Italy and then I was in Dublin and now I'm home for the rest of the week and then I go back to Dublin. A lot of flights have been happening. All good stuff.
Isn't that a lovely thing considering our previous 2 years?
Yeah.
Were you enjoying that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, with all that goes all the kind of stresses of not seeing family and all those kind of things, but they're only for relatively short periods of time. So it's good to be busy. It's good to be able to leave the country. It's good to be able to, you know, work and all that. So good. And last weekend was a particularly joyous one because a group of us went to celebrate a very dear friend of ours' birthday on the Amalfi Coast. And we're there.
Now that's a party.
4 days. That was a party worth going to.
Did you say four days?
Friday to Monday. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. I didn't realize we were getting that long.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Kid free.
Heaven.
Absolute heaven. I laughed until I nearly threw up. I was just sore cheeks, pain inside, bent over, crying with laughter for most of that time.
Yeah. Oh, well,
I wasn't laughing. I was food in my mouth or sleeping. So, it was fabulous.
Amazing.
That's as good as life gets.
I was watching vicariously on the WhatsApp group. It was the most wonderful thing to be seeing and also the most heartbreaking thing to be seeing. Because I was like, I should leave this group, but I can't leave this group. I want to see all the photos.
It's like crack cocaine. I can't. It's like, it, I don't want to.
Yeah. It just looked incredible.
It was. What a beautiful part of the world as well. I've been to Italy many times, but I've never been to the Amalfi Coast. And my God,
it's beautiful, isn't it?
Absolutely stunning. And the weather was fantastic. We were in our togs, sunbathing, swimming, you know, the end of October. And it was like 23 degrees on Saturday. I couldn't believe it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So beautiful.
So my memory of our one time in the Amalfi Coast was a family holiday. And Daniel was very little, or was it Holly? Can't remember which one, but do you know the way you collect stories? This one was that we were having dinner out and she was looking for water and she was very thirsty. And I gave her a glass of water, which she gulped down. It was Daniel, which he gulped down. And then Holly said, "That's wine, Mum. That's wine." And sure enough, half a glass of wine was gone down the 2-year-old's gullet. He wasn't even two. And I thought, oh, Jesus. And you didn't spit it out or react. You just like drank it back. I thought we might be in for a lovely sleepy afternoon. No.
Oh,
she powered through.
Delighted with himself.
Like mother, like son.
But we had a moment of, oh, Jesus, panic, you know.
Yeah.
Totally fine, which goes to show you what they can withstand.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all so careful with our measuring of Calpol. What a load of nonsense. Half the bottle and they'd be still all right. You know?
Not that we endorse over-medicating our children.
No, indeed, absolutely not.
By powering on through, I went from a night shoot on a set in Ballymena. We wrapped at 4 o'clock in the morning, got straight in the taxi down to Dublin Airport, straight in a flight over to Italy, and I powered through. Not a bit of sleep was had till midnight the next night, which I was very proud of myself.
Good
Jeez,
woman.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show you what good company can do for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any other scenario I would have been
shit company, you'd have been knackered and asleep.
I couldn't be arsed with this, but no. And I had to put myself, I had to tell myself to go to bed so I could manage the rest of the weekend. I would have stayed up as they did.
Amazing.
I had a very different time. I was working and I was down, well, at the weekend I was in Galway. I had two shows, Saturday night, Sunday night. And because the kids were on midterm break, I brought them with me. Family joy. You know, I've said it a million times and Steve has said it to me, don't bring the kids with you when you're working. But you see, he was working flat out around the clock. So what was the option? What was the option? He was worse than me. They're on the midterm break. I was in a hotel that had a swimming pool. So you think, okay, let's do that. I said about 20 times before I left, togs, put your togs in your bag. Put your togs in your bag. No togs.
No way.
They wouldn't go on the Friday. I was too up to, or on the Saturday, they wouldn't go to the pool. They said, no, we'll go tomorrow. I didn't mind that because we got down kind of late and we'd done other things. I said, fine, we'll go tomorrow. Anyway, I had a show to do. So I was like, sorry, I can't talk to you. And to be fair to them, you know, they were perfectly happy. Kids love hotels. They will literally lie on the bed, order food and watch movies. Like, I mean, you know, it's every parent's kind of nightmare because you're just looking at them being sedentary and eating a load of takeaway rubbish food and watching more telly. So you're like, oh God, please go down to the pool and swim just so that I can feel like a decent parent. just for that reason alone. So then sure enough, no togs the next day, meltdown. I didn't get the togs. I haven't got my togs. Would you wear mine? Tries one. No way. Too big. I'm hanging out of them. So that was the end of that.
But they couldn't have gone to Don's on their own to buy a pair of togs.
No, God, no. No, Jesus, you joke. How would they find their way? Another place. I would have to go with them up, down, around. And I was busy.
Of course.
I was trying to work. And then it's pissing rain because it's Galway. Yeah. The rain doesn't stop.
The rain.
Well, I did my rain, my dad Galway rain material. And I was very happy with it.
Oh, great. In Galway, it must have gone down a treat.
Yeah, it did. And I had the memory. Do you know what part of my memory was, which came out when I was on stage? Do you remember when John Frieda's Frizzies first came out? Did you ever buy the Frizzies, Sarah?
I didn't need it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a big indulgence. It was about £7 for a little bottle of serum, John Frieda. Well, I said John Frieda should be shot or thrown in jail immediately. No amount of Frizzies could save the hair of Connacht. And you're out the door 2 minutes and the hair destroyed. And it rained, sideways rain, straight down rain, slanty rain. We got every
all
kind
the different
of rain.
Variations.
Yeah, but it was great. Two good shows. Yeah,
great.
It was one of them was hard work. I won't go into the details, but okay. Do you know what? Maybe I will.
Good.
Okay, but this is it's a bit in terms of performer speak. But on my second gig, it was a. You know, I was on a bill. The first one was I did a solo show. The second one, I was on a bill of comics. And I was following a real old timer who's not normally on our, what's the word I'm looking for now? The word's gone.
Scene.
Anyway, scene. Yeah, I guess so. There'd be an alternative scene. He wouldn't be an real old timer, classic joke, you know, joke telling North of England guy. And in the middle of it, a few backing tracks came on. Very loud. Da 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 da. Well, I wouldn't walk 500 miles, gets the whole room. I'm in a ballroom, gets the whole room to sing along. Phones out, lights on, three songs, finishes with Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum. And I have to go and follow that. With just my jokes. So I'm listening backstage going, arsehole. Get off. Like, it's just every comic's nightmare. Nobody wants to follow music, but big old karaoke music that didn't even have great jokes. Yeah. Nobody cares. They're delighted. Like, it's fabulous. If I'd been in the crowd, if I'd been out there, I would have enjoyed it immensely as they did. It was just like, oh, you know what? Let's just have a sing song. Yeah. But not when another comic has to come on.
That's a bit lazy now, isn't it?
But was it always his act, though?
That's his shtick, yeah.
Right.
So somebody, right. Yeah.
But look, I bet you
booked
came out
as a kind of booked as a kind of an experiment, I'd say. Let's bring
put
this
him on
guy
at the
back.
End. Put him on at the end, and he can do his music at the end, and nobody else has to go on.
Yeah, that's really.
Were they well
really
warmed up though? At least
they were, but I had to work my arse off.
Oh, time. Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. I had to work my arse off. I had a lovely gig in the end, but you know, yeah. It's just you have to reset the tone of the room and get them back into a listening group. They're not. They're gone into.
Yeah.
You know. Party,
dance
karaoke,
mode.
You know, yeah. Will we get up and do the
Macarena?
Yeah.
How long did it take to get the room back? What are we talking?
It took me probably 5 minutes. But then for the duration, you're just working super hard to keep them
going.
Yeah. It's just a different fucking vibe.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. I'm sure you're glad I shared.
Well, actually,
always. Always.
I'm dying
always.
To mention the name of the performer, but I can't.
No.
Oh, well, he'll be looked up.
Oh, yeah.
Just by us.
I'll tell you secretly afterwards.
SJ, how was your week?
So, yes, I was not in the Amalfi Coast with you because I was going to Tralee to spend the weekend with my family. So we went down, Lewis and I, so he could see the cousins, who he hadn't seen his cousins for over a year.
Mad about the cousins, isn't he?
Yeah, the excitement. So it was very exciting to get to Houston Station with him, especially because he had just had his dress up day at school and he insisted on wearing his costume, obviously, all the way down on the train. And Lewis dressed as the one who cannot be named, as in Voldemort, from Harry Potter, which meant that his costume entailed of a very big black cloak. And that was it. Just a big black cloak that went all the way down to his ankles and the hood that came all the way out. So he was walking around the streets of Dublin, O'Connell Bridge, with this big wide cloak and his wand and just delighted with himself. We got on the train, we found our seats and he constantly had the cloak on and it didn't come off. Yeah, we had took out the sandwiches and the potatoes and we had the tea.
Welcome to Ian Rod Aaron.
It was Ireland profunda, you know, we are embracing it all. And then of course the one who cannot be named needs to pee. So we get up off the seats and we have to ask the people outside, can we get up? And they let us out. A terribly nice woman, an older woman called Maura, who he was playing cards with, and this other chap. And so they were very polite. Up he got and we walked down the carriage and into the toilet and the others. We call them the posh toilets and the regular toilets. So
posh toilet, the slidey door.
The slidey door. We all know.
Fill me with fear.
Oh, yeah.
Never think the door is locked. No.
Yeah. Well, have I got a story for you?
Yeah,
two actually. So this one, I'm well aware that the door does not lock, and I shall tell you how later. But we pressed the button and in we went. And then I turned around to lock the door and I turned my back to him. And by the time that I had turned my back to him and waited for the door to close, the bottom of the cloak was in the toilet and he was pissing all over the cloak. So
the child will cry and crack up if you get rid of the cloak.
If you
but you just want to roll up and throw in the bin, but you can't.
Absolutely.
These are the parents who no one can foresee. It's just horrific.
Yeah. So in the meantime, the Amalfi Coast WhatsApp group is blowing up with photos. And that's the point where I'm like, I really should get off this group because this is so
hilarious. I don't need this.
Jesus, this is FOMO by 100.
This is hilarious because I'm now standing with the cloak in my hand over the sink. We had to wash it, got the soap, and I did a full scale like wash. Like I cleaned it, and like so half the cloak now was like completely drenched. And so I put it under the dryer thinking, well, maybe I can get it a little bit dry, but no, it's not going to be dry. So anyway, I didn't.
Did you have a separate plastic bag that you could put it in? And
I
put
did.
It up
I
on
had.
The shelf,
like, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. I had. Nice, I did. Like I had the bag that was going to be used for the rubbish. Became the bag to hold the cloak and the whole thing. Mm. But I wanted to, so that was that. But
meanwhile, you could have been, should have been in the Amalfi Coast. Okay, let's just keep going with this because it's so
bad. To mention
I just
that.
Want to cry for you.
So then Lou says to me, he's like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Like, this is so embarrassing. I'm like, well, it is embarrassing. But it's not half as embarrassing as the time your mother sat down on the toilet and closed the door. And I'm sitting, hovering, and I've got my jeans down by my knees and I'm doing my business. I'm having a pee and I've got a thing to hold on to. So it's not, you know, because generally you're kind of trying to mind your balance. And then the door opens slowly.
Oh, my God.
And it's so slow, like the whole thing is happening in slow motion. And I'm looking at it and the door is opening and my ass is already visible to the line of people who are waiting to change at Mallow. And then I'm like trying to close the door. And in order to close the door, you have to
get up.
You have to get up. And at this stage, it's too late because my ass is in the air and I am waddling over with my jeans.
Oh, Jesus.
Doing a little penguin waddle over. Now I'm pressing all of the buttons and I think that it's going to close. I'm pressing open. The door is just open.
And
everyone is
hide.
Like, looking. There's nowhere to hide. No. Everyone is looking away. And I just looked at it and I'm like, I'm so sorry. So that's all I could say. I'm so sorry. And then like I pressed and some guy outside and he's like, press close. And I press the close. And I'm standing there. And I'm like trying to pull off my pants. And at this stage, and it closes so slowly. So all you can see are
the faces. Worst doors in the whole world because they don't open like a door. You can't go behind it. You can't close it quickly. They're just slow motion nightmare.
But it's the distance from the loo to the button. That's the problem, isn't it?
That's the
horror.
And you see, the lock is separate. So you think when you press close that it's closing and locking, but it isn't. You have to press the lock button.
To press the lock
button. Oh, God, help it. It's my worst fear.
Learned the hard way. I'll never forget it.
Nightmare at Mallow Station.
Nightmare.
That stuff of nightmares.
Anyway, but look, these are the Erin Road Erin joyous stories that help us through and get to the other side when you see the family and they say, how is your journey? And there's always a story.
The funniest part of it, to be honest with you, is the WhatsApp group popping up with your little your cocktails
us
on
with
the
our glasses of
our
spritz by the pool.
I am glad that I wasn't in the WhatsApp group because I would have been having the full scale row of, I can't believe you didn't bring your dogs while they're lying in the hotel and I was trying to go to work, you know, and have kids with me at the same time, look after them and go to work. And I would have been looking at the Amalfi Coast going, fuck.
Yeah, serious FOMO.
So I'm glad I was left out of that room. Thank God. Thanks be to God.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So would it be a nice idea, as we're wrapping it up for the year, to reflect on the year that we had and talk about our highs and lows of the year, considering what a fucking year it was with everything that we all experienced?
Well, it would be absolutely lovely if I could remember anything. I could remember further back than last week. I'd jump in with something, but you'll have to kick that off, Eva.
Highs and lows of last week, Dee.
I can't remember 1 month to the next. That's the truth. I think I've talked about all my highs on this podcast already.
We probably have. If there's any standout ones, I was going to say, but clearly there's not for you.
Well, do you have the Amalfi Coast is definitely up high. In fact, it's the highest.
That is definitely a high on so many levels. This podcast is a big high. This happened at the beginning of the. Well, last year, this year.
Yeah, actually, it has really been like turning up to a nice therapy session for me.
Exactly.
I'm like, I could be in all kinds of shitty moods. And then I see your two little faces.
Yeah.
And I'm immediately cheered. Immediately.
Yeah. Likewise. And even in our most stressful or busy times, and when, you know, felt like, how do we squeeze this in amongst everything? When we do, it's immediately apparent as to why
we're doing it.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Now, when I did the Sugar Club gig, the launch of the Sky show, and I had a few those women, one of the girls who emailed us last week, coming up to me to say how much they loved it. I realized I hadn't been out and about that much to actually get a lot of feedback. And it was just so gratifying to hear people saying, "We're listening, we love it."
Oh, good.
Yeah, wow.
That's great. So
we sometimes forget that, you know.
Yeah,
and we're talking about
people listen. Yeah,
definitely has been a high. Yeah.
And your telly show, and your film.
Well, my telly show, is out there, out in the world. The second episode went out this Sunday, and it seems to be on constantly. Again, because you're not out and about, you don't get a lot of. I did my Gogglebox record this morning, so I had a few people saying, "Oh, watched your show," but you know, because of the old COVID times, you're not out as much as you used to be, so you're not hearing. The way you normally would, but I think it's going well.
SJ, you had a big year. You moved country. Is that a high? Mixed bag.
Yes, it is. One of my big highs this year was probably the biggest high was when my dear friend asked if I would accept some money from her to go towards our film, and that was an extraordinary moment. You know, for someone to actually. Just say that I believe in you and the work that you want to do, and I want to invest in your work. It fills you with the confidence that you so often lack as an artist, because you're forever trying to get the funds to do the thing. So when a friend of yours takes the reins and say, "I believe in the work that you want to do," it's
amazing.
I cannot tell you how it feels. And there's. You know, and we kind of joke about it a lot and say, "I really hope we get to spend it," you know, because
you will.
I really hope we get to spend it. And you know, Eva, what it's like, you know, going down the funding road. It's just so long and arduous, and it fills you with there's so many ups and downs, and will they, won't they? But for one person to have the means, first off, to be able to do it, and then for them to just put their trust in you and go, "No, go do it." So that was such a high, because
well, that's huge. That's a big thing.
Huge, really huge.
You know, as well, let's talk about that for a minute, because in our industry, though, they were always called angels, weren't they? Anybody who gave money to the arts, certainly in theatre.
Oh, really? That's new to me.
Theatre angels were people.
They're called angel investors. My friend is not so much an angel investor this time around. She'll be a named producer, but or she has been in the other film we made, The Short. She would have been considered that, because gave us the money to make it and wasn't named.
Am I right in thinking that this was a bigger thing years ago? Because I haven't heard as much about it in recent times, but I remember when I started in theatre, Theatre Angels was quite a thing. Mm. Has it gone away a bit?
I have no idea. I know that there are definitely patrons out there that do invest a lot of money in theatre.
People who invest in the arts anyway, I guess, in general. And there are, they are out there.
They really are. Yeah.
They are out there. God bless them. It's just like so important. Wow.
Yeah. And so that kind of catapulted everything where you go, oh, okay, well, we have this. So yes, now let's move country. So it did set us off on our road to being here in Dublin. And that feels really good to be back now, because it's all done, all of the logistics and the planning and it felt so
huge.
It is huge. It is huge. And you don't really realize how big it is when you're in it. But last night when we were like driving up to the apartment in Dunleary, Lewis was like, oh, it's good to be home. You know, like it's Dunleary felt like, oh, we got off the Dart, and he was like, oh, we're home. And
and that was probably your first time.
Yeah, it was in Dublin, to feel
like we're home. Oh gosh, we are home.
Yeah, dude, we're home. We're in Dunleary. So we're home. Nice. And so that was a good high. That was a good high. Yeah. But what was so lovely this weekend was actually, you go, okay, I'm not there, but I'm here and my parents are alive and they're well and I'm getting to spend time with them.
And they're now just down the road, the ease of getting to them.
They really are. And so like them saying goodbye to us, there wasn't as much weight. There's always, like last year when we said goodbye in September, we knew we wouldn't see each other for a year. And that used to happen a lot when we were in LA. Like, okay, bye. And there was just like this hidden understanding, like, I really fucking hope I see them again. You know, you just hope that they stay well. And so this time, there's just something really lovely at the thought that they are in Tralee and it's not that far. And they know that they can nip up on the train. And that's really lovely. It's really,
and it's a good time, SJ. You know, it was a good time to return home for even for that. All of our parents are getting older. Like we're in that stage. I've lost my dad. My mum's in her 80s. She's well, thank God. But we're just in that place now where we need to be a bit closer if we can.
It's
a tough one.
It is.
So that's a real plus. It is a real plus.
It's great. It's great. Mm. And you, Eva, you have you had so many big highs this year.
They're all sort of linked, I suppose, though, you know, with the short film and now the feature film getting its support from Screen Ireland, and they will be making, got the news that we'll be able to make it at last. Yeah, and the journey with the short film has been so surprising and lovely. And sort of like what you said as well, when people respond to something that you've pour your heart and soul into, and it's a new venture, you feel so, so vulnerable that to get the positive feedback is... You know, it's just validating, isn't it? And it's a relief to go, okay, I think I can do this. And the responders, and they respond to the story that you want to tell, and it works on all those levels that you're sort of striving for. For that to happen in the last year was incredible. Yeah, because it was, it's quite a few years in the, let's say, in the making. We haven't made it yet, but that shows you the length of time, the journey that you go on. It was just the length of time you have to wait, waiting for people to respond, knowing that their response is the only thing that will probably bring you to that next step. So there was so much weight on it. It was so exhausting and torturous and stressful. So to finally get all that sort of, to now be sort of on this sort of upward trajectory is really lovely. So that has to be, I suppose, my biggest high of the year is just, it's just that sort of, feeling now that, I'm not wasting my time. I think I can do, it's a really good feeling. That's the big high. Cool. Yeah.
So exciting. Can't wait.
I think as well, the fact we didn't realize how much we've missed, guys. We've missed so much through the COVID.
Yeah.
All our work, like.
I suppose the biggest high for us all is that we've come through it, isn't it? Really? Yeah. Because it was so monumentally,
It's a very big relief, crazy. I have to say. I feel very, very relieved to be back at work. Relieved.
The other high is to not be homeholmschooling. Because a low was how dreadful was that?
Well, no, that was a major low. All in the house.
Major low. Yeah, that first lockdown, schooling and living together full time was horrific.
Yeah, it was. Now, that very first one, that was all a bit of the novelty, was it not the second time around? First one, we had a lot of sunshine. Do you remember? That was the novelty of the baked bread and the sun was splitting the stones. Was the second time?
That was 2020. That was in early 2020. You guys were all locked down. But after the midterm break last year,
oh Jesus,
they were locked up, locked up. Until December or until Easter or something. Like there was like a ridiculous lockdown until after.
It was whichever one. Well, it must have been the first one from, I just mean in schooling terms, because there was also the strange ups from being locked down together as a family as well. There were things that came out of it that were actually very lovely. But from schooling terms, educational terms, that I think must have been our first lockdown, because it's when the schools didn't quite know, they just had to suddenly deal with it. So they were just put it onto the parents to teach. So you were giving
It was the Easter to summer.
Yeah. So there was no, because it changed after that, and they just basically went online and the teachers did live Zooms and the teachers taught and the teachers did all the YouTube links and the teachers taught, and you just made sure that your child sat at the table. But before they learned how to do that, they just sort of gave in our school or in London, and anybody I know who was doing it in England, you were just given your, you know, sheet of the day, all the tasks in the sheet, and you as the parent had to go through each subject and teach us really. And that was...
Yeah, well, I came to blows with Dan. Steve had to take over.
Oh, gotcha.
It got to the point of, okay, this isn't working, can't do this. So he had to take over. Yeah. Just ask.
Yeah.
You can't do the maths. You couldn't do maths. They were just like Chinese, as maths.
I don't know how you did it with a child that age.
And even the
maths. At least I could understand most of the subjects.
No. His maths, like there's no method that's the same method you used.
Yeah.
So even if you could do the maths in your way, it's no good to him. Well, it's not his way. So the method is completely different.
But that was the same. That I struggled with that with a 7-year-old maths, because it wasn't, this is how you add two sets of numbers together. It was all like, we break it into tens, you break it into ones, you draw a graph. And it's just like,
I like carrying the one. Holding over. And what was wrong with that system?
And there was nothing wrong with that system.
Have to change? Nothing.
Well, do you know what? I don't know if this has changed across the board, but we had a parent teacher meeting there last week and she informed us that it has gone back to the old method. Carry the one. So
amazing.
I don't know whether that was based on all the feedback from parents going, I can't fucking teach my child how to add numbers together. What's wrong with you people? And they changed because of that, or
gone back?
Bring back the one.
That's so funny. Ellie and Lewis came up with a really cool way to learn maths, and they did it with post-its, and they put post-its all up on the tiles in front of them, and they did tables like that. You walk into the kitchen, it was like a beautiful mind, you know that film where they like
stuff
everywhere. Yeah, it was like wild. It was wild, and their system, and they were counting beans, and they were counting bits of pasta, and it was cool actually. They had a good way of doing it. Is there somebody in your house, Eva?
It's a bit of a moment. She had a break in now. We were watching it.
It's the top of the house, but I thought I heard the front door open. No, it's okay.
Sure? I just had a moment there. It was quite a film moment watching you, watching the door, and thinking, are we going to watch Eva be broken into while we're watching her live on a Zoom? What would be
Jesus. Oh, Jesus! Oh, God!
What would we be able to do?
Nothing.
Imagine if something bad was happening in front of our eyes, like rear window. What would you be able to do?
Like rear window.
Rear window. Except the Zoom window.
Yeah, Zoom window.
Amazing. It's not a bad idea for a little short, is it?
It's not a bad idea for short. It's not. It could be a feature, T. Not a, don't even restrict yourself.
My head would never stretch to as far as a feature idea. Short would be about as far as my brain could handle. I don't know how you do that. I do not know how you do that. The arcs and the hoops. I couldn't.
Oh, me hoop.
The pains in the hoop.
The arcs and the hoops. That's the name of your book.
Any more lows?
The drinking.
Oh, the drinking.
They were highs and lows.
Go on.
I made my gin bar.
Oh, made you a gin did. Bar. Your gin bar is a triumph.
Yeah, it's so cute. I mean, it's a gin bar. It's a tray with some bottles of
with
drink.
Bottle
and,
no.
And a light above it that says gin bar.
It's a light.
I like it.
Gin bar.
Lovely. I love the gin bar.
I like it. It gives
I'd
me
like
pleasure.
I'd like to come over to your gin bar the next
oh,
time.
Oh, darling, I will have you over to the gin bar. 100%.
So, well, why? Did you change your drinking habits, Eva?
Didn't everybody? I drank,
yeah, I drank
every day for 6 months, I reckon.
Yeah,
the low was when I got up one morning, went down the stairs, walked through the sitting room into the kitchen and said good morning to a bottle of rosé. And I'm not joking. I said, morning. Morning.
And tell us this, how hard was it for you to break that habit, or did you get sick of it? Did you say,
I got sick of it. I think I got sick of it.
Hmm.
Felt like shit.
Yeah.
And also
calories,
know, conscience
and
as well, you know, the kind of like, oh Jesus Christ, the inner kind of voice. I'm just like, I don't think I might need to rein that in now.
Yeah,
put down that packet of biscuits and put that bottle back in the fridge. Inner voice.
But it got us through. Like, I mean,
it got us through.
I'm so grateful. I don't have a drink problem.
Me too. But I was also so grateful for the drink when during
100%.
It was the food and the drink. We were lucky to be able to afford it.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I do remember enjoying those first few months.
Oh, yeah.
Cooked a lot. I just was like, the sun was splitting the stones here. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. We had a heat wave. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was no way you wouldn't be drinking in that situation.
No, exactly,
that,
no, exactly.
That was my Amalfi Coast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
COVID Coast. Yeah. And also the sense of community. I don't know about you guys, but our little kind of the avenues where we used to live, people really rallied around and looked after each other, you know, dropping over.
You got to know each other.
Got to know each other. They're neighbours that I had for ages that I didn't even know.
Isn't it so bad?
Yeah,
really?
Then you know, you'd stand out in the corners, you'd have a chat, and you'd have a, you know, you'd have a drink.
Yeah. But isn't that a really interesting thing that it took this?
It took a pandemic
for people
for me to meet neighbours I never
met. Like to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah. When I cook Christmas dinners for each, like sharing out, you know, Christmas dinners and it's really lovely.
And back then to the oldies.
When it went back, though, that's what I thought was mad. Like when we, you know, we out in the balconies every night and you're kind of seeing all the people in the apartments across the way. And then as soon as we were allowed to leave, I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to run into them. Never saw any of them. Now, I don't know if it's different because we were living in the centre of a city and so many apartments. But did you see though your neighbours much after that when you all were able to go back to normal?
Yeah,
did you
I did
run
actually.
Into you did.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. But we're like, sort of, you know, it's very
Well,
there's, you know, we're sort of not on top of each other, but we're all the houses are very, very close to each other in all these little avenues. So
Good.
We, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. But it happened.
I mean, I'll never forget, SJ, your people in Madrid singing happy birthday to you.
Oh my God.
Like that was
that's
like,
a high.
That's
that was
feature
just
film.
Beautiful.
It was feature film
yeah.
moment of just heart, you know, heart bursting.
Yeah.
It's
happy
just,
birthday.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was extraordinary. Oh,
it was.
Makes me well up now.
Yeah, it was.
You'll always have that. You'll always have that
always
incredible memory of Madrid. You know, I mean, I know you have many memories of Madrid, but that's surely going to be.
Oh, it was
out.
Up there. It will now, you'll never forget it.
No, you won't.
He'll never forget
that birthday will always be a standout for that reason, which is
his sixth birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Because you don't remember, they're not all standouts. You know, they're not.
No, they're either pinatas
they're either,
where they nearly died, or else you've got
exactly.
people in the balcony singing to you. I choose the latter.
Exactly. And that is really good coming full circle on this podcast as a last episode, because the pinata story was very early on.
It was.
Up there, one of the first ones, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The fucking pinata. Well, you did it this year. You had a piñata at Jesse's birthday this year.
I don't know what that that was. Ross. Ross bought that piñata. I had nothing to do with it. He came home with it.
This.
I said, "Oh yeah." Came home with it. And suddenly there's a piñata. I got a piñata for Jesse's birthday. It's just like Joni's birthday.
Had he listened to our podcast or not?
I think he had, because he just listened to them. He does listen to them. I told you last week, he said, "I suppose now you're going to say that on the podcast."
Brilliant.
Or the funniest, he said to me
when we were in London.
I was like, I love it. I love the podcast. What does Ellie think? And I went, yeah, he doesn't really relate to it. He's like, it's so Ellie. He doesn't relate to his life.
Bye-bye season two.
Bye-bye season two.
Thank you to our gorgeous listeners and yeah. for all your feedback and for enjoying it. Come back when we come back.
Next year.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.